Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar. It was a big weekend for show business.
Big
I don't mind telling
weekend.
You. Now, I don't know if it's a big deal with the people of your country.
Latin people?
Yes, but in America, for over 146 years, the circus was the show.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
In fact, the greatest show on earth.
El Circo.
That's right. And the John Ringling North family, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey combined shows, announced over the weekend that after nearly a century and a half, they are closing down.
I actually, funny enough, did a case study. You know, I went to business school.
How's that?
I went to business school.
John Ringling North Business School, was it?
Yeah, the School of Money.
The School of, School of Bell Money. Bell polishing and trapeze artists.
The case study that... From the Harvard Business School.
Yes.
Addressed.
Was this the case study you did called No Clowning Around?
No Clowning Around. That was a big, bold font.
Yes.
They addressed that the circus, this is pre
their announcement.
Their announcement that they were closing down.
It was pre the announcement.
It was
before it even.
This is before the announcement. They said they're taking the elephants out of the show.
That was about a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Yes. So the case study spoke of what the circus was going to do with all the new types of entertainment.
Right. They had
available.
To expand. There was
How are they going to transform themselves?
Well, what we're going to do here is obviously they took very drastic measures. Feld Entertainment has closed the circus.
Tax credit.
So we have. We're going to call down to Sarasota right now. This is the
sunk cost.
The winter home of the circus, and we have booked an interview with the acting CEO of the circus. So we're going to give him a call and figure out what went down.
We have some personal connections to Feld. We did, at least, at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And also, one of our former employees, his brother was a circus priest.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
True story.
It was like the cross shoots out water.
No, he would bless the train as it left as it left the depot in Sarasota, home of the
Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Oh,
thanks, Rob.
Looks like we need
we'll
a circus priest here.
Take two.
Yes. Hello. Is this the Ringling Brothers combined shows?
Really screwed that up.
Simple edit.
I don't like simple edits. Start from the very beginning.
That means you
got
to call again.
All right, let's dial again.
We're going to start the whole goddamn show over. All right? God damn it. It's not that hard.
Go ahead and call.
Just take it from the top. Just take it from the top.
All right.
Leave it in. This is all staying in.
Yeah, don't mess with it. Thumbs.
All right, let's give them a call right now. Oh, wait, we have a call.
Remember, don't continue your shtick. And don't stop watching the board.
Okay, very good. We're going to dial now. This is the new phone system. I just don't know it that well.
How is it a new phone system? It's the rotary one.
No, but we had to put the rotary on the phone system.
Yeah, it's a fallback.
It is. So we are now calling the Ringling Brothers in Sarasota, Florida. Acting CEO. They didn't appoint a permanent CEO. Because of the fact...
Hello, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. Circus, hello.
Hi, is this the combined shows?
Yeah, is this the Bit Killer?
Yes, it is. Calling to speak to the acting...
I normally would stay in character, but I'm really not motivated right now.
We're calling to speak to the acting CEO of the circus.
This is he. For now, we're kind of packing stuff up. I'm a little busy.
Well, I understand, but I mean, are you so busy that the CEO has to answer the phones? Don't you have some sort of clown receptionist?
I'm so busy, the CEO. Yeah, I'm so busy, the CEO has to answer the phones. Yeah, if that's your question. Okay?
Well, so,
yeah, but don't worry, you're still going to get the flippin' ice shows and the truck pulls and all that crap. You know, but you're not going to get the greatest show on earth anymore.
No, no.
You're not going to get that at all.
The greatest show on earth is slated to run through May.
Yes.
And ticket scalpers are now selling what were $50 tickets
for lots of money.
For $300. Yeah. How does that affect you as a circus?
Not at all. I'm on salary. I am officially out of work at the end of May. And the greatest show, and really the greatest show that is going to be killed by the Feld Corporation, is going to be history after May. Yeah, of course people now are going to buy, it's the last chance. It's the last chance. It's crap.
You know,
it sucks. I'm sorry. It all started with the goddamn elephants. It all started with the goddamn elephants.
Never forget.
Protect the elephants. Save the elephants. Don't put hooks in the elephants.
One of your
put a hook in the elephant, it doesn't move.
One of your founding fathers, P.T. Barnum, was really...
Yep.
A man.
I'm related.
I know, but a man who really knew.
Excuse me, I just said I'm related. That's a good comedy riff. How
I thought
are you
related? Said you were unrelated. You're related
no,
to P.T. Barnum?
I said I'm listen to learn. Learn to learn. I'm related, Rob.
How are you related to P.T. Barnum?
P.T. Barnum's full name was Paul Talbot Stewang Stabilak Barnum.
Hold it.
Huh?
His name was Stewang. Who is this?
This is Charlie Stewing Stabilak.
Charlie?
Oh, wow, what a great surprise.
This is Rob and Oscar.
Normally I can't be more excited. Normally I get really, really excited, you know?
This is Rob and Oscar.
We used to do these bits. They used to be so crisp and so together, you know? And it was Rob's idea. All right, yes.
This is Rob and Oscar from the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, my God, wow.
Charlie.
Yeah?
You know, some may say that this all started when Cirque du Soleil took over the entertainment in Las Vegas, and people found a new vision and new...
No, Oscar, no. By the way, how have you been?
I've been great, thank you.
Is my man there?
Yeah, yes, your man's here.
Pony Boy!
Yay!
Good morning.
Pone Bone.
Pony Boy Matthew Bloom. Pony Boy Matthew Bloom. It's a sad day at the circus, and it's all because those tree-hugging liberals decided they wanted the elephants treated
goddamn
better.
Right.
Yeah.
That sucks.
You know, since it's over, can't you bring the elephants back for a couple months?
No, we can't. I just wish. You know, if this election had happened a year ago, we wouldn't have to worry about the elephants or anything else.
Oh, I didn't know you got political, Charlie.
I did. But I'm out of a job, so it doesn't matter. I'm so sad.
At least you're in Florida. You can go back to being Mike's houseboy.
Now I'm not working for him anymore. I'm not doing that.
What happens to all the popcorn?
I'm hitting the road with a man named Mark Waddell. That's what I'm doing. We're going to ride trains. We're going to ride trains all over America. We're going to be hitting the boxcars.
Hobo lifestyle?
Hobos.
Going to be Charlie Stewing, Stabilak, and Boxcar Twitch. Heading all over the United States of America. It's going to be a big, big time. Big time.
How come you're not posting online how you want a job as Boxcar Twitch is?
Yeah.
Well, I can answer that, Oscar. Yes. The fact is, in order to post online, you need a computer, which I have. And in order to use that computer, you know how to work the thing. And I can't work the damn thing.
What kind of computer do you have?
Telephone,
What kind of computer do you have?
An IBM.
Oh, an international business machine?
Yes, I have an IBM. I have an IBM.
How old is it?
I don't know, it clicks and grunts, you know, and I try to do the best I can.
Is it a color screen?
Nope, it's kind of like it got a blue screen.
Oh, yeah.
Just a blue screen.
Yeah,
okay.
A monochrome screen. Is that the circus you use? Is that the computer you use to run the circus?
Everybody has those computers in the circus office. The film company has not been supporting us for very long, you know? But I'd like to sing a song, if I
may. Oh, absolutely.
I'd like that.
Isn't it rich? Aren't we a pair? You in the... I'm so sad. Send in the clowns.
You are...
Not anymore, a-holes. Not anymore.
You are part of the greatest show on earth. Gotta be one of the happiest work environments in the world.
Oh, yeah. Happy my ass, Rob. Happy my ass.
Can't
okay?
you make the clowns cheer you up?
Yeah, Mr. Feld went off on me yesterday.
Oh, did you get a call from Mr. Feld?
Well, I had a suggestion. I'm a little bitter. I said, how about when the circus, the last performance,
yes.
How about when it's all over, we just let the animals go. Right in the middle of town.
Idea.
Right in the middle of town. Let the effers deal with them, all right? We don't have to feed them. We don't have to water them. We don't have to do it. Clean up their poop anymore. Hay, all that crap. We just let them out in the middle of the city. Right in the middle of the effing city, okay? okay.
Charlie,
yeah.
Would there be an opportunity there, because Feld owns the Marvel Ice show.
And
they
the
also,
Monster Truck Show.
The Monster Truck Show.
Now, tell me about it. That's all they ever talk about. It's like Frozen. You know that Frozen? They made that into a real show with skaters. It's, I'm up to my ass in skaters every day. It's Frozen this, Frozen that. Disney. Lick my...
Oh, let wow. Can
yeah,
you?
That's what I say.
Can you skate?
Yes.
No.
So why not put together an audition?
No, I'm not
you
doing
that,
You
could be all off.
Yeah,
no,
you
I'm
could.
Working on my, I'm working on my own enterprise. Going to be maybe debuting that later in the summer. Going to be touring the country. Real excited about Charlie's Freak Show.
Oh, a freak show.
Charlie's Freak Show. That's right.
County fairs.
County fairs. Only at night, though. It's going to be a late night show. 10 p.m. 10 p.m. And you know what we're going to say? You can only see Charlie's Freak Show at 10 p.m. because the freaks come out at night.
Isn't it the best 10 p.m. freak show on the strip?
Yes, it is. No, it's. I think this is, we're going to go to every city in America.
Uh-huh.
We've got bookings right now in Flint and also Erie, Pennsylvania, and we're going to build on that. We're going to build on that, and we're going to be going everywhere in the summer. 10 o'clock, Charlie's Freak Show. The 10 p.m. show should be very exciting.
And you're
going to
get there by train.
Gonna get there by train with my friend Mark Waddell riding the rails and coming into town. It's gonna be awesome.
You won't actually buy a ticket. You'll just hop a flatbed.
Nah, I don't need no ticket. I just hop on the freight car and just ride into town and Charlie's 10 p.m. freak show starring Mark Waddell, your ringmaster.
Will he be wearing a hat?
Yeah, a big hat and a big red jacket.
And you'll advertise mostly by flyers?
That's right. They'll say, where'd you get that jacket? He said, I got it from the network. Anyway, should be big time fun. How you guys been anyway, huh?
Doing good. Will you be recruiting freaks as you go?
I'll be recruiting freaks. If you have a malady, deformity, an infirmity, is something that makes you stand out. Like
right.
If you got like 12 toes.
Sure.
Or you got,
you, got
or
a
you, can do, you, know, you can do what I do. There's going to be part of the act where I'm the finishing act where I chop off my pinky finger and then I show it to the audience when it grows right back.
Yo, you can still do that?
Yeah. My limbs grow back.
That's fantastic.
It takes a little while. Remember Deadpool?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like that guy. Only real.
Now, if you're going to be recruiting freaks, how do you feel about...
Ryan Reynolds got nothing on Charlie Stewang's Stabenek, that's for sure there, boy.
How do you feel about conjoined twins?
You know, I don't... Well, conjoined twins would be a big win. A big win. If we get a couple of those would be fantastic. But you
it's
know that David Blaine that shot himself in the mouth?
Yeah,
remember that when he shot himself in the mouth? I could shoot the whole back of my head out, and it would grow back before the end of Charlie's 10 p.m. freak show.
Wow! You should do that.
I should do
Charlie.
That. Yes, Rob, I should.
How do you feel about foreskin?
Foreskin? Well, I got plenty. I got plenty. I didn't have the snip when I was born.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't have foreskin. You know, as a matter of fact, I had so much of it that they were a little worried. They were worried when
they
I was born.
They were worried?
Yeah, but, you know, not that worried. Because they looked at me and said, well, you know what? Don't worry about the foreskin. That kid's got so much going on. We got a lot more problems to deal with.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Oh, hello there. I'm Newton Ames talking to you on behalf of the Monolithic Oil Corporation about today's energy situation. You know, if we all just sacrifice a little... We can pull together to beat the current problems of not enough energy. And Monolithic is doing its part by killing most of the birds that nest around our beautiful oil refineries. Birds eat up a lot of food. And as everyone knows, food takes energy to grow and prepare. So the fewer birds there are, the less energy will be wasted. Now, how can you help? Well, if there are any old folks around the house, just set them outside at night. This looks like a long, hard winter, and the fewer people there are, the less energy demand there'll be. Leaving the old folks outside is nothing new. The Eskimos do it all the time, and they know a thing or two about surviving in cold weather without much heat. You betcha. When you drive, don't take your foot off the gas for stop signs, red lights, little children, or anything. A smooth, steady driving technique is the most economical. The cost in human lives, suffering, and property damage will be more than offset by the savings in gasoline. Well, I hope these tips have helped you become more aware that the blame for today's energy situation is on your shoulders and your conscience and not ours. Monolithic Oil Corporation. We want you to pay.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We want you to pay.
Classic from National Lampoon. That's from an album probably 30 years old, but it's still funny.
Live from the Fiverr Studios in Washington, D.C., the Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show with an incredibly loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it, and if you're here, you do too. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673 or MikeO'MaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you today by Policy Genius. Life insurance means peace of mind, but buying it seems like such a hassle. Where do you go to get the best prices on the best policy with the best service? PolicyGenius.com. If there was ever something that you need to take the hassle out of, it's buying life insurance, and they've done it at PolicyGenius.com. It's the best online life insurance marketplace. Policy Genius has placed over $5 billion in life insurance for people like you, so they know their stuff, and they have the most accurate quotes from the top A-rated life insurance companies. Policy Genius has a simple, user-friendly website that shops and compares all the top-rated life insurance companies to give you the best options, plus a licensed customer service team to help you find the best policy at the best price. And while you're there, check out the other insurance offerings like health insurance, they've got that, and pet insurance. Go to PolicyGenius.com today to save over 70% off other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. That's PolicyGenius.com. Zero jargon, zero sales pressure, zero hassle. It's Policy Genius. Life insurance made easy. Free quotes, zero hassle, peace of mind. Don't wait. Go to PolicyGenius.com and do it today.
Do it.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for that rough start there. You know, it was... Yeah, sometimes you just lose your mojo, you know.
Sometimes the comedy pyramid crumbles.
That's true.
Sometimes it just falls apart, you know.
It should put me on Stone Dragon. That was my problem. Sorry about that.
Sometimes
sorry about ruining
the pyramid. Had a bad
sometimes
day.
Oscar keeps talking.
Sorry.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Shut up, Pony.
Thank you, Pony. Appreciate that. That's fantastic.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Everybody wins.
Tight, bright, out of sight. Now, you know, when it's Charlie, anything goes. That's the motto for me. That's the way I look.
And Charlie, as I think rule of thumb, what I've learned over all these years working with you fellas, I mean, yes, he's the wild card.
You never know what Charlie's right? going to do.
No,
say,
I didn't expect that mood from him today.
Yeah, he was, you know, kind of a mature Charlie.
No, and I don't mean that in the way you think I mean it.
You did.
No, I don't
you
mean it that way.
You made him act like
no,
that.
No, I didn't expect Charlie to be so angry about the closing of the circus. He's more an optimistic guy. And you know, I thought he would have plans for the future.
Well, I took my my personal experience with that character of Charlie. And I remember when Twitch was working, and he's not working there anymore. Not because of what happened. Twitch got, he stopped working for that corporation.
He left
a while
on his own
back.
Accord.
Mm-hmm.
In an accord.
In an accord.
Yeah.
Severance.
You boys. But anyway, right. he took us up to where they staged the circus.
You saw the Enterprise.
It is Sarasota, right?
Yeah, and I went behind the scenes to these massive warehouses, and it was pretty evident to me back then that the circus was maybe the original Enterprise that they had with these big shows, but they had moved into the land of like ice shows, these big
they've
productions.
Diversified.
And the monster truck shows.
I think that's where the money is. That's where the money is. And less expensive to stage.
Yes.
A monster truck show.
So that's what they were kind of into. And we were talking about it yesterday. The circus. I've never liked the circus.
Well,
I'm not
no.
a big circus fan.
To give everyone a perspective, in the 1920s, when the circus would come to town, it was front page news.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. You would see a picture of these elephants and these animals and these entertainers walking down Main Street or
right.
Pennsylvania Avenue to tell everyone The circus is in town.
Oh, they would use
right?
the streetcar tracks in D.C.
Yes.
For the circus train. My father remembers going outside of New York City. My father grew up in Carteret, which is in New Jersey, but close to Manhattan. His dad would take him to watch him put the tent up in the morning on circus day. And he said it's amazing.
I have a horrible circus memory from my mom that I grew up listening to. They had the Shrine Circus in Hartford, Connecticut,
sure.
which was another small circus. And I think it was the Hartford Armory. I'm not sure whether that was the building.
Always an armory for a circus.
well, after the days of tents.
Yeah.
The big building where they would stage the circus. And like one of the worst fires ever. And my mom actually remembered seeing trucks. With the bodies being carried out of the... Yeah, because it was that horrible. You can look up Shrine Circus Fire, Hartford, Connecticut.
My
and it's
father,
probably back in the 30s, 40s.
That's
like
the first, I think, live entertainment I ever saw as an immigrant here
Not
in the
good
States.
Guys?
Not Good Guys.
Was the circus?
Was the circus. I remember as a little kid, because my father saw, because he would read the Washington Post daily, he saw the advertisement.
Right.
And he remember him saying, Yoli! Let's go to the circus.
So you went to
the
kids. The DC Armory back then.
I remember him cutting it out so he could call from work to figure out how to get tickets.
And you went
to the
circus.
And we all went as a family. I remember that as a kid.
Was it a great memory? Was it a great memory?
Yeah, because I'd never seen anything like that in my life, right? I saw the zoo, but it's a circus.
The last circus we went to due to a seating mix-up. We were given our tickets, and we arrived late because we had to leave after, I believe it was...
Did you pay for the tickets?
No, they were through Make-A-Wish, actually. It was a thing for Robert.
Oh, man, you juiced them.
And, I
Disney,
put the stones to them.
The circus.
How many wishes was it?
NASA. Yeah.
You know, Mike, I'd give my right arm for a wish. I'd give my right arm for another wish right now.
That's your buddy right there.
Yeah.
That's your pal that said that. How many wishes was it? That's the
it's
funniest
like
goddamn thing.
So,
you know what? And we can laugh now because thank God you're through that already. You went through that horrible experiences, but that may be the best line I've ever. How many wishes?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah. You know, if I smoked cigarettes, I wouldn't make cancer jokes. But that's just me. No, you're doing good, Pony. You look healthy.
Oh, God.
Like a cobra, he came at him.
You're killing me today.
So,
oh, no.
We were late because I believe it was during the days of the Don and Mike show, and we were on until 7. I remember leaving the studio in Fairfax and going to the Patriot Center.
Yeah.
Eventually, the Patriot Center would host the circus. And we had our tickets, and the show had begun, and it was dark. And the ambivalent usher said, well, your seats are down there. And so we just went down, and I saw four seats. They were great seats. They were like second row. And I said, well, that must be our seats because, you know, there's four of them.
Show business.
So we went and we sat in them. About halfway through the show, everyone in our row stood up. And I said, okay, stand up. And they put us like in go-karts that spun slowly and drove around the perimeter of the big top.
How old were your kids at this particular time?
So this had to have been probably 8 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so, I mean, perfect age for that. So, I mean, this is a sellout circus show, and we are actually on the stage going around the three rings, and we get back, and the lady from Make-A-Wish comes down and says, I don't know how you did that, but that's not part of the package. I had just gone to the wrong seats totally by accident.
And got the VIP.
And they were like super double VIP seats.
Is awesome.
And I think to this day, Robert and Julia still remember that.
Of course.
Like, seeing the circus crowd
memory.
From looking at that was pretty amazing. Yeah.
The circus, I'm old enough to remember the circus being a big deal for entertainment. But the fact is, as I grew older, I just didn't like it. I actually didn't dig the whole animal thing. I thought
that's
a little
the elephants, man. It is so creepy to watch them. There's a phrase that people
say. Anybody ever ride one?
I've been on an elephant, but not at a circus.
No, I've never been on one.
I rode a circus elephant.
As part of a radio bit?
Let's not talk about your days at AU.
Hey, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, at the Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus,
which
is what we got down in Annapolis, Maryland, as a baby DJ, I was asked if I wanted to ride an elephant and went to backstage and got to ride the elephant out at the circus. So the only thing
fun?
I remember.
Do you remember the smell?
No, I remember the actual process of getting onto the elephant that has a rather thick neck and getting a Charlie horse as I put my right leg over. And then because you splay your legs out like you're doing a full split.
And you're probably dehydrated.
And then
that's right.
From drinking?
Hooked on depressants.
Probably been drinking all day.
Yeah.
Because hey, show's over. Glug, glug, glug. That was it. And riding it into...
Can you point me the way to the tent? I need to find the tent.
Back when I was doing all of my shows drunk, you know? Hey, really, Country 103, here's Charlie Daniels with Uneasy Rider. Yeah. How you doing? Get some country music, Rob. You got any country music? Find some country music. Yeah. Redeem yourself. Yeah, I remember that we would have a lot of those little events, and when the bottom rung was doing a stand-up remote at Baldwin Service Center, where late in the remote, when I had to be there for 2 hours, getting like $35, and the owner of the Lawn and Garden Center said, "Why don't you ride that tractor around with the customers so you can draw attention?" And the sales guy looks at me and goes, "Come on, let's do it." And I had to like ride the tractor around like a complete and total dork doof, you know? But it's like, Bay Country 103, I'll be out at Baldwin Service Center. Hope you enjoy this. Devil went down to Georgia, Bay Country 103. Join me at Baldwin Service Center. I'll be out there Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. Hope to see you there. You know what I remember about music DJing? What I really do, my biggest memory is... there we go. How you doing? Big Country 103. Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Oh, you hope you like Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Orange Blossom Special, sir.
Oh, Orange Blossom. Okay, I forgot that. Turn that one off. That's a lousy country song. I remember the boredom. I did an afternoon. I programmed two radio stations, and I did an afternoon country music shift at Bay Country 103, and the boredom was unreal. I remember
the last
hour.
Well, because you're playing the same songs after your first six months. You're like, I know what's coming up.
Yeah, and I couldn't do any shtick. I couldn't do any real, you know, so the thrill.
Music is a star.
Of getting your, you know, voice and. Yes. Here's George Jones. He stopped loving her today. Bay Country 103. I'll be out at the Clyde Busy Cold Weather Service. I'll be riding an elephant tonight at 8 o'clock. If you haven't gotten your free tickets, you get a chance to win in 15 minutes at Bay Country 103. Here's George Jones. I'm 26 years old.
And you probably, after 2 weeks, you hated the music.
The music was a novelty. I'd learned about it.
Music, though, over and over again.
What is this?
White Lightning? George Jones.
I never played that.
All the time.
But I did play some classic country. The thing about it was that once you get over the initial thrill of being on the radio, which is really exciting, and then you start playing records, you're reading like a card or the weather or a public service announcement, and then you're really just sitting in a room while records play. Yeah. And that's not exactly...
How many years did you play music?
As far as...
I never asked you that.
At about 80, 81. And then I was working at a commercial radio station in 80, 81 while I was still at American University. Went down to Herndon, Virginia, worked at a tiny station there. Got hired by Jack Diamond to work at a station in Annapolis. Those guys quit like within 2 weeks of each other. Chuck Dickman, the program director, and Jack, the group program director. And I went into the owner's office and said, I can do these jobs. And I got the group program director job for the cluster of two radio stations.
But still.
And I did that, and I was playing music for a few years after.
So 81, 84, 3 years?
Yeah, probably somewhere 83, 84. Is when I got, because I quit, because I hated being a program director more than anything in the world in the business of radio. Never
explain
wanted to
why. I think
it.
I know that Oscar and I can probably guess,
it's
but
the worst
someone
part
who's outside of the business.
It was the scheduling. It was the, because as a small market program director, I was responsible for making sure these absolute ne'er-do-well slackers would make their shifts.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And I told you the story about the Saturday morning call I got at like 4:30 in the morning.
From some guy's mom?
From a kid's mother.
Oh, that's right.
Telling me that she was worried about Jeremy going over the bridge.
Jeremy's not coming.
And I said, well, tell Jeremy he's okay. Oh, will you do me one more favor? And she goes, yeah, of course. I said, tell him he's fired. Bam. And I just hung up the phone and drove in and did the shift.
You got in your Tercel.
You know, I'm in my mid-20s, you know, when I'm supposed to be absolute at the pinnacle of my irresponsibility, and I had all this responsibility, and it was not fun. I didn't like dealing with it. I didn't like having to discipline disc jockeys. Yeah. And at that level, you got guys that are either brand new or are on the way down. And that's not fun. And I fired like four guys in one day. Not because they were, you know, they didn't have the talent I like. I just wanted basic show up on time.
Well,
competence.
It's a new culture. Yeah. New culture.
Oh, it was terrible.
At least you never caught anyone.
Valentine's Day Massacre.
Mike, at least you never caught anyone applying ointment.
Yeah, that's Frank remembers that. I'm sorry, Rob remembers that.
Hey, thanks for calling me Frank.
Sorry about that. There was a DJ who was enormous. I mean, enormous. And yes. He was one of those guys that was on his way back down. But, I mean, you know, you go on the services and you look for people and they send you tapes. Yeah. And if you get a competent tape, you're just trying to put bodies in the position.
Sure.
And they had a transmitter room right off the studio floor. And my office was down in the basement of this building.
Yes.
And I came up to talk to my afternoon disc jockey. And I came up and he was nowhere to be found. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't know how long this record's going to last, but I see no one. And then I heard rustling inside the transmitter room. And I walked back and he was kind of wedged between this old ancient transmitter we had and the wall. And he said, I'll be just a second. And I'm like, I had no idea what was going on. And he said, sorry, suppositories.
Ah!
And I almost threw up. Big Entry 103. I'm having a 4 martini lunch today. Just caught one of my DJs putting suppositories in.
Is a burning thing.
So got a lot of stories. Probably could write another book
about
it.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, it was. You guys saw the building
where that radio station
was that they turned into what, like a kids' nature center or something like
well,
that?
Well, it's half nature preserve for kids, like a camp, right? Where you come and visit, and half radio station still.
Oh, that's right. They still it was like on autopilot, right?
Yeah.
They had RoboJock running a radio station.
Yeah.
Wow. Horrible.
Good times, but when you talk
we're
about the
better places, Mike. We're subleasing.
You got to get something to get you
DC.
Through.
That's
you
true. Really and we're taking all of our medication orally.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills. I want to talk about frying eggs when we come back on the. And I want to do a follow-up conversation on our pancakes yesterday.
Good.
And I also want to talk about food some more. We'll be right back. Thank you. Golden
years. Rob Mayer here to promote Patreon, a new way to support the Rob and Joe Show. Joe doesn't really care enough about the show, so he left. But Rob Spiewak is here and Oscar Santana to help promote the Rob and Joe Show that Joe won't promote.
It's a workshop for being Joe from Rob and Joe. This is Joe caring about the show.
Okay, this is the first.
Yeah, whatever. Patreon, I don't know, get on the web and then give us some money and we'll do a show.
I don't know. I would have stuck around, but it wasn't worth my time. I'm going to do a Kickstarter to see if I can get enough money to talk about Patreon.
If I get enough money, maybe I'll go to the doctor to get this cough out of the way.
Well, I'm sold. That's patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. You get a bonus show. It's actually only $5 a month. But if you give $1,000, I will murder Joe live on the
Great impression.
Joe, is that you?
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Why wasn't he there?
He literally looked at us and said, I gotta go, guys.
He said, you can handle the promo, right? I gotta go.
I don't care about anything.
Gotta go. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business, and a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place ain't going to cut it. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and you can with our friends at ZipRecruiter. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to over 200 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or annoying calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter absolutely free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. You'll see how effective they are. You'll see how easy it is to use, and you'll see how quickly you get the right person to come to work for you. Make 2017 a great year for you and your company. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Do it today. So, We talked about food yesterday, and I don't know whether it's the time of year, what the deal is, but we get into the foodie stuff. And we were talking about Rob Spiewak and a big controversy online when Oscar and I were giving you a hard time about putting clarified butter.
Well, melted butter. It's not technically clarified, just melted.
Melted butter.
Half a stick.
In your pancake batter. And I should point out that a lot of people said melted butter is part of every recipe for pancake. Well, I agree that melted butter is in recipes with flour when you're making pancakes from scratch, but not necessarily in Bisquick.
No premix.
Because Bisquick has other sources of stuff in there.
True enough. I mean, and as a fact, I actually have a standing argument with my mother. She refrigerates her Bisquick.
Oh.
Why does she?
She says there are enough ingredients in it that are not pantry style.
They could go bad.
They could go rancid. Of course, it would have to hang around a long time for that, and not an issue in my house.
It's a powder.
But you leave your butter out just in case someone needs it, right?
Well, I leave it out so it's of a spreading consistency. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
how many sticks a week do you go through, do you figure?
Oh, God, that's a hard question. I mean, what if we're baking? Then you go through, exponentially
more
butter. Let's
say an average, not a holiday week.
All right, I say a stick of butter lasts us about 6 to 8 months.
Really? Oh, he's lying to me.
He's lying.
I'm gullible.
Oh,
no,
God.
Really,
but
really,
anyway.
really. How many sticks do you think?
I don't know, 2 a week.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's not. You got four people in the house eating toast?
Yeah.
And I've got four children. I can't feed my family. I'm a grown man. I'm calling about your sausages. Your sausages right now. We're Texas people, or whatever that guy is. What's that tape we had?
The Jimmy Dean complaint tape. Yeah.
Jimmy Dean complaint tape. So anyway, Tripp put his little picture of boiled eggs, and Tripp says, everybody knows that you put butter in pancake rice. I'm like, okay, well, bite me, Tripp. I was talking about Bisquick, okay?
Right.
That's what I was talking about.
I hold in my hands, Mike, the ingredients in Bisquick.
Oh, please.
All right, very good. Let's
Bisquick listen. Original pancake and baking mix contains enriched flour bleached, which is wheat flour, niacin.
Want to start again?
Enriched flour bleached.
You want to start again?
Enriched flour bleached. That's
bleached.
What it says. Wheat flour, niacin.
Flour.
Yeah.
So flour.
And that doesn't have any sort of fat or anything other than it looks like niacin, iron, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin, and folic acid. I think most of those are to keep it separated and fluffy. It also contains cottonseed oil or partially hydrogenated soybean oil. But not butter. But
you
not butter.
So you read that so beautifully. That's
Are you selling it to us like it's not healthy?
No, but you hit the if
are
the
you
letter
to
of
make
the law
point
here
about the butter. Or the oil that's in your Bisquick is your fat.
Yeah,
that's
but it doesn't taste good.
But on the side of Bisquick, doesn't it call for eggs and oil even
it
in
does.
Bisquick?
Bisquick ultimate recipe does call for oil, so I've essentially just substituted.
You don't put... Okay, so you substitute your oil with butter.
Right.
That's
I can't tell you which one's worse. Is butter
fatty,
worse?
You know,
butter is always...
oil? No, right?
Nothing is better than butter.
No, but when you're talking about flavor, we're talking about health.
Yeah.
You just
but
said that like it was sexual.
It is.
Right.
Also, Mike,
you know what? And
leavening and dextrose and salt. But Bisquick has less ingredients than I thought it did.
All right.
Nothing's better than butter.
The thing about, a lot of food has come my way in the last 24 hours. Somebody posted the best way to fry an egg. And who doesn't like a good fried egg?
And this is food porn for you because you're on a diet.
Food porn. Yeah,
how do you take
exactly.
your fried eggs? How do you take them?
Well, I'll get to that in a second, but I wanted to just say there's an article on a website called Pop Sugar that says this is how all your favorite chefs fry eggs. And they have Giada De Laurentiis.
Big
they
head.
Have Ree Drummond. She's the pioneer woman. You've seen
I, by the way,
the
I have a
Network.
Theory that she is probably special needs.
Okay, Mario Batali is on there. And then they throw in Paula Deen and Chrissy Teigen. Who's really not a chef.
No.
She just wrote a book about bad food. Like I think she's called The Cravings Cookbook, and she put it in there.
All right.
Paula Deen says bacon fat. Chrissy Teigen says fry it in butter and olive oil. Mario Batali says his first rule is when you crack the eggs into the skillet, avoid touching them at all for the first 30 seconds, then use a nonstick spatula to kind of loosen the egg and then do a flip. which is kind of, okay. I've done that with fried eggs where you do the flip. Kind of cool. Ree Drummond, her tip is to carefully put hot oil that's in the pan over the egg to cook it, because she cooks really fatty. She really does.
Ree Drummond said, I like to put oil on my egg.
Now my lovely lady Giada De Laurentiis,
yes.
In her little segment here, she talks about frying the egg in olive oil, which I have done before, and I think it is the greatest way to fry eggs.
Why do you need oil at all? When I make eggs,
you can use a ham, or you can do a nonstick pan, and you can cook.
Yeah, when I cook, I would say I probably make eggs once a year, right? Just if I'm
really, I can't wait because that day's coming up.
If I'm if I'm really really starving,
I haven't even put up my decorations
and
yet.
Shannon's not doing her job, right? And we're gonna eat breakfast. We usually don't eat breakfast. So,
right.
But if
right.
I'm like, all right, I'll make some eggs. I don't use any oil, not because I don't know.
I just put it in a nonstick pan?
Is I just throw it, I crack the eggs, throw them in, and put some salt and pepper, and we're good to go.
All right. Well, no, I mean, you need a, you know, if you have a nonstick pan, you could probably get away with, you know, putting your eggs in there and not having anything. But
what does the oil do to the eggs?
The oil not only cooks the egg, gives it a little crisp consistency, but it also makes them easy to
prevent
flip
sticking.
And,
yeah.
And they don't stick to the pan. That's,
okay. But if you use a nonstick pan, you don't need the oil.
Right. Depends. It depends on your flavor profile, and also sometimes it can still stick.
Usually, it can stick, but usually you can get away with it. But it's usually good to put a little Pam or a little spray.
Have you seen
the amazing copper pan?
Yes,
my mom got it for Christmas.
She did.
Did she like it?
She's in love with it.
Does she love it?
Oh yeah, she's getting me one for my birthday.
I would love one.
That infomercial and I'm like, well, I don't cook enough
oh,
for
with
this.
That jackass?
Yeah.
I would love one. Well, it's, you know what's interesting?
It sets it on fire.
You bring up jackasses.
Yeah.
Because there was one chef that I left out. Chef
from
who
the egg list?
Always go to for just to make it. Who's the chef that's going to make this process just a little bit
Boy,
more
I
difficult?
I sure am glad I came
really
to work today.
Needs to be
Alton Brown.
Alton, I am a douche Brown.
He's the
Alton
best
douche
cook on television, Mike.
Here's Alton Brown's number one tip for frying eggs. To not crack them directly into the pan. No. Why do something that everybody does because it's easy when Alton Brown can make it just a little more difficult
because
for
if
you
the egg is not
a hump.
It's not perfectly farm fresh. You don't want to put that extra strain on the yolk because you might break it.
Oh,
what?
Bite me. That's such crap.
It's not crap.
In his recipe
strain
for perfect
eggs
over easy, he explains, never cracked eggs directly into a pan. Always crack them into a cup or ramekin. The only way, is it ramekin?
Ramekin.
Is that the way?
Mm-hmm.
A ramekin. Yeah.
What's a ramekin?
Yeah, it's like
that.
A small dish.
A ramekin
I
is what
have
I'd
them.
Like to drive into Alton Brown's skull. it's the only way to make sure they cook evenly, and you can pour them into the pan right where you want them. What's the difference between pouring them into a pan and cracking them right into the pan?
More precision, Mike.
That's
no,
a ramekin.
It's not. He's a douchebag.
He
is an absolute.
Leave that out of it. His science is true.
Science doesn't. He is just. He makes things more difficult because that's what pays his salary.
There's no soul.
All of this is based.
Thank you, Pony.
All of this is based on the fact you don't like the way he gets lobster meat out. And you know what? I will grant you that.
Yeah.
I will grant you that. But don't.
Legs of
don't,
the lobster
no.
so you can get the extra meat out, you stain.
But I agree with you there, but
stain.
that doesn't mean that his egg process is flawed.
You know, Alton Brown gave me a
creme brulee
roast, though. I have to say,
I'm sorry, how much?
Yelling about,
what?
You know, when you talk about being taken out of context, people will remember all the bad things I said about Alton Brown, and they'll forget the good thing that I said, that he came down here to Fort Myers, and I think he recommended that Bennett's Fresh Roast for dinner.
And you see, there you go. There you are. Yeah. And he also is an enthusiast of Ben's Chili Bowl. He knows his stuff.
Who isn't? That's a hack.
See, now
that is
you
a
just
hack
subtracted
place
by Bennett's Fresh
at this point.
That's a hack place.
Yeah, you hipster.
That's
Have you ever
place.
Been?
Yeah.
You've been in the building.
Rob, did anybody that ever was in media in Washington with their PR machine ever not been to that place? That hot tub? That's D.C. perfect. Infected.
They have
that
one
is,
in the airport
that is a
now.
Mediocre,
it's so
that's
good.
A mediocre joint.
It's not mediocre.
That got over,
no,
oh,
no,
on,
no.
Totally
no.
overhyped.
You know why? They overhyped. Use a lot. They use a lot of butter. A
lot of butter, my ass. All right, go get your
hot buttered chili. Yum.
Alton Brown. Hey, your Alton Brown buddy would cringe if he knew you made pancakes with Bisquick.
Would he?
He'd hate it.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
right, well, that's good. Good for you.
I still like his science, though, man. Smart. You know what he is? He's like the book Joy of Cooking. Joy of Cooking is a complicated cookbook, but if you read it, you'll have an understanding of how to cook food, and that's what he teaches.
All right, that's good. I've got something that you can read.
Oh,
it's
really?
Right here. I'm holding it right now. Read this.
We'll take a break.
Come back with it. More fun. No, I was touching myself. We'll be right back.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gene Nixon.
And on this week's episode of the show, we actually have Gene Nixon, world-renowned prognosticator.
I can't believe we got him.
I'd never heard of him before.
I can't believe we got him.
We also have some brand new music from Gary.
Do you believe it?
That's a rarity. And this could be Rob Ford's last show.
Oh, I hope so.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Rob, turn in your t-shirts.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. If you want your life to be the best that it can be, you got to be smart and you got to act smart. Are you smart? Are you? I'm smart. Are you smart?
Smart, smart.
I always shop through our Amazon portal. The TMOS Amazon portal is for consumers in the know. Yes, Oscar.
Mike, right now through our portal on MikeO'MaraShow.com, click on the Amazon banner. You can get a set of four ramekins for only $11.48 prime delivered to your house tomorrow.
You know, also see if you can get a creme brulee torch because you'll need that to melt the sugar on top of your ramekins.
Mm. Very, very exciting. Amazon.com has everything you need. Don't be a rube. Get in the know. Shop Amazon. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it is the best and easiest way for you to support your friends here at TMOS. If you need it or want it, Amazon has it, and they will bring it right to your door. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon, or click the Amazon button on our website, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. Thank you kindly. And now, back to the show.
Mike, breaking news. Right
yes,
now
sir.
On that Amazon, I know we were over with the spot, but I asked for a torch. A torch is here. $19.95. Prime delivered tomorrow through our Amazon portal on MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Best creme brulee in the world.
Truly, truly spectacular. I could not be more excited about that. Yesterday on the show, with the football season in playoff swing right now, and now we got Pittsburgh and New England going to the championship game, and we got Atlanta and the Green Bay Packers. I was talking briefly yesterday about the fact that watching Aaron Rodgers ply his trade as an NFL quarterback was something that I admired greatly. I believe that out of all of them, I think Tom Brady, probably with the pure physical tools, is the best quarterback in the league. But Aaron Rodgers is somebody that under pressure seems to thrive. And then you got into it a little bit with me about Aaron Rodgers that I really didn't know the whole backstory about him being estranged from his family. He just seems like such a cool guy when you're watching him on the field. But he's been in a real terrible situation.
Again, I think when you really look at his body of work, he is one of the all-time elite quarterbacks in the league, right? And if you think about his winning percentile, as far as the Green Bay Packers are concerned, this season was not the season that we said that the Green Bay Packers are going to be in divisional playoffs and that they were going to make it possibly to the Super Bowl, right?
And it's kind of like all him when you watch them, and I watched them beat my Giants and then I watched them beat Dallas, and it really is kind of all him. And what I love about watching the guy is just how cool and collected he is. And then I was almost going to post the other night that, well, maybe I did post. I don't know if I put my favorite player doesn't play for a team that I root for.
You did. I did see that online.
I did. And then I guess Aaron Rodgers has had a real horrible situation with his parents, and he's estranged from his family. And
his brother went on The Bachelor and was the bachelor. He wasn't just a contestant. He was the guy. And his brother had his own career with his own right, but not with, it's probably a tough shadow to walk in.
I would think so.
Especially if you play ball as well. And then if your brother ends up on The Bachelor and you're basically using that Rodgers name for that level of fame,
and
right?
He can deny it all day long, but it had to have helped him.
And allegations are, and these are he's never ever addressed them in this manner. He's actually done the opposite after like a code of silence for some time. He said that he roots for his brother, but they just don't. They don't talk on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And if you read between the lines, you don't talk to your brother. You don't have that great a relationship.
Yeah.
It's come up again. So it says here, this is from People magazine, Aaron Rodgers may not be on speaking terms with his family, but the Green Bay Packers quarterback is making an effort not to worsen the ongoing feud. On Sunday, Aaron's father, Ed Rogers, confirmed to the New York Times that the family is not in verbal communication with his second son following the athlete's rise in popularity. Fame can change things, Ed said in reference to Aaron. Now, when a dad says that, right there, that to me is a dad being a dick. Okay? That to me, that statement alone,
I agree.
I'm judging it because it sounds like dad's got a chip on his shoulder.
Well, as a father, even if you're not speaking to your son, you're still his father, and you shouldn't do anything to worsen the situation.
Now, I want to make sure that I've got this updated because it says it was updated January 17th. At 8:46 in the morning. So I think this is an updated story.
Okay.
News of the family's rift first surfaced last spring when Jordan Rogers competed on The Bachelorette, like Oscar was saying.
Yes.
And let me see. While competing on the reality series, Jordan revealed that although he was very close with his oldest brother, Luke, Aaron is estranged from the rest of the family.
He ended up winning.
Mm-hmm. It's just the way he's chosen to do life. Okay, so I'm not getting anything from this family, all right?
Yeah, but also, let's put everything in context here. There are so many variables that can go into any family rift when you're not a superstar
absolutely.
NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Outside of the first thing that comes to mind, whether you're an NFL quarterback or you're just regular Joe Schmo doing a podcast that could really run a rift in any family, is finances, right?
Sure.
So because they're real cagey, so nobody's coming out and talking
about
it.
They're cagey. Now, there's no allegations about that, but when you get to a certain level of fame and anybody that's had any money or any success, they know people come out of the woodwork, right?
Family especially.
Yes, family especially.
And I don't see that anywhere, and I don't want to say it unless
again, I'm not alleging this, and Dominique didn't allege this, but this is my own personal take that if your family's not talking to you after you became famous. Yes.
You hit them up for money.
It's usually something.
I have a different theory.
Financial. Something financial, or you've helped enough,
theory?
Or you just can't do anything more.
You go back when you mentioned a comparison to Tom Brady, and I think one of the greatest traits a quarterback can have, and when you look at the great quarterbacks, they look as calm when they're 10 points down at the end of a playoff game as they do at the front of a game because they can compartmentalize. Right. They can just sort of peep everything
and they're competing
separate.
At a different level.
Is that right now, family for him is probably not a priority whatsoever. His priority is winning games.
But during the off season as well? That doesn't make any sense.
No, it does. It's a year-round job to play at that level. Well, and so I bet this is my theory, and
Rob, that
it's only
make
a theory.
Any sense.
It doesn't make
there's
sense.
There's got to be a catalyst for estrangement.
Estrangement could be the fact that he is so focused on football that he pays no attention to his family.
He's beating down on Olivia Munn.
Okay, well, that's another compartment and one I'd like to visit. But if you compartmentalize
let me
life.
Jump in here. Aaron Rodgers' father confirms that the family hasn't spoken to the NFL quarterback for a couple of years, but says they're hoping for the best. In a New York Times story about the family, the NFL star's dad, Ed Rogers, said the family hasn't spoken to the Green Bay quarterback since the end of 2014. It's complicated, he said.
Down, man, and when we find out about if I can speak for a living, Jesus Christ, it will be nothing we've talked about here. Watch, it'll be something so small that we have no idea that really broke the camel's back.
However, it could be another compartment of it, though. He might just say, F this.
The Bachelorette is not the catalyst for this.
Oh.
That's one thing that's pretty clear. The fact that the guy went on The Bachelorette just exposed the family rift.
So
but
predated
really,
it.
Why would the brother even say anything?
Wow.
That's when you know you've got a family against one person, when the brother mentions it and then the father doubles down on it.
Well, not to be devil's advocate, but don't you think that he was probably pressed into it because they found out that his brother was Aaron Rodgers? And they say, how does your brother feel about it?
Yeah,
he has to tell an answer.
My brother, he could lie. My brother's rooting for me. End of story. Move on.
All right. Very true. Very true.
What's Aaron Rodgers really? Like, I'm not rooting for him because I'm a complete dick? No, he just wants to move on.
You know what's
his
horrible,
life.
Though? What tells me when the father comes on, when his father, Ed Rogers, comes out and says fame can change things, that's throwing your son under the bus.
He's calling him Michael Jackson.
I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side here because it's like, okay, you're being a dick by coming out and saying that publicly, and I'd like to know what the real deal is. I'm fascinated by this because I'll tell you, I get a vibe from the guy that I just think he's maybe an okay guy. I could be wrong. Maybe something will come to light. But it seems like the family.
And he's fully insured.
The family's popping off right and left, doing interviews while he's in the middle of a playoff run. It sounds like there's a total disregard for him doing his job. Right?
And he hasn't said a word. Rogers himself hasn't said a word, right?
No, he doesn't talk about it.
And guys, let's really put things into perspective, right? You've got CEOs of companies that are under more pressure than winning a game or losing a game in the NFL, right?
Okay.
Now, they're not scrutinized on the level that a NFL superstar is on every level, but they are making decisions that make or break people's lives on a regular basis. This guy's just playing football, right? And if he's not making his family a priority right now, and he's had such a long, prolific career, there had to have been a watershed moment where he was like, this is not healthy for me. I have to step away. I have to focus on this side of my own personal well-being or personal health. And then his family turns on him publicly in the papers and on TV. Yep. Not okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I mean, I'm reading about this. I'm trying to get some... I'm trying to see who did what to cause this. And as Oscar said... I think maybe there's a financial component here where maybe
it's not the
safest guess.
It's not out of the realm of possibility for someone to eventually say enough is enough. And it's not because right. You're being cheap. It's because you know you're not helping a situation out, whatever it may be.
Anything financial is always going to be finite. I mean,
yes.
There's an end.
Yes.
And there's only so far he can go.
And for another perspective is that the idea that Rodgers is not addressing this, I don't think is necessarily because he just wants to focus on the game. I think it's probably because it's embarrassing to him of what the root of the problem is.
Yeah. By the way, I'm gone through so much of this stuff right now, and I'm looking at it is pulling teeth to get any information about what the real deal is. And I think that would be, you know, when you're the guy that people are saying, well, you don't speak to your family. And you got the father saying fame changes things. You would counterpunch if you were a dick, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you were a real dick, you'd say, well, here's what they did. I think he's chosen the high road. I'd like to read more about it, see what comes out. But at the end of the day, I think he's a very fascinating guy. And I'd like, I don't know. I feel
Are you,
bad
so
for
he's you're rooting for him over Tom Brady?
Always. Yeah. Oh. I think that's really. Yeah, 100%. It's just weird. I mean, the whole fame is strange and what happens. But when it goes public, I always consider it the Clampett factor. I consider it the trash
that's,
family
we
that,
are
that
on
is
the
going
same
out there.
Page.
I really, really believe that they're doing it that way. And Rob, when you talk about compartmentalizing, I'm like, what, that he's focused on his job, so
well,
he doesn't want anything to do with his family? That
just throwing a theory
sense.
Out there that, you know, maybe if he wants to repair this, maybe he'll say, you know what, I can repair this, but I'll repair this in a couple years.
This
it's not, it's maybe
two,
not a priority.
It's been going on 2 years, though.
Yeah.
It has been going on for 2 years.
Well, but not while he's still playing is what I'm saying. If the playing is a priority.
That doesn't make sense, though. You're indicating that the only reason that there is this rift is because he wants to focus on football.
That was just a theory.
But I mean, by that theory, you would say that there's nothing that's been done on either side that would cause the rift.
What if the theory was to really excel? I can't deal with what if it is a Clampett factor? What if it's a Clampett factor?
Well,
and he's just trying to excuse himself from it.
That would only be true if he wasn't such a top performer before 2014.
All right.
Your theory might hold water with me if it was, hey. Aaron, we're bringing 40 people from our hometown to the game. Aaron, you got to go to this dinner with everybody. Aaron, you got to do it. It can start as small as that.
Yeah.
Oh,
if you're talking,
again, we're not there. I don't know. And I'm saying yes.
And he's
it's likely
also,
the route has almost certainly going to be financial.
You're such an optimist that you couldn't see that side of the coin. I feel like on my end, because I'm a fatalist to a certain extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That either there's a financial component or there's something has been done, like some moral line in his eyes has been crossed where he said, enough is enough. I did my best. I'm moving on. See you later.
What about this incident in 2013 where the dad forcibly kissed Olivia Munn?
They were not together.
That's
then.
Not true.
How dare you?
You know, I am fascinated. This is my number one sports star. I'd love to know more because you know what? He seems like it's very, very weird. It's very
we're
weird
entering
to me
Mike. We're entering the era of the NFL season where they're going to focus on minutia. You will get your wish.
I don't know. I mean, it's been around for 2 years, Rob, and he's been in the spotlight for 2 years.
I need the National Enquirer to step up their game.
That's still a thing? Right,
and figure out. I think they're out of business. Are they out of business?
It was since that they exposed that presidential candidate.
I need the world news of today to figure out some UK outfit, right?
Right.
I need some UK outfit to get out there and tap some phones and give us some answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like maybe he's too classy to dish the dirt about this. I just wish he'd tweet. Tweet something. Come on. Tweet, Aaron.
Meanwhile, did you hear about his
dad? In America.
Did you hear about his dad's good news?
What's that?
He was hunting yesterday and discovered oil.
Oil. Shit. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need.
So wrong.
Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I've got a
new age girl. Hey there. This is Katie. With all the diet resolutions of the new year, tune in to get your calorie-free cake and cookies. Find us at MikeOMaraShow.com. It's no fruitcake, but it'll certainly satisfy your sweet tooth. And f*** you, Rob!
What?
He's cake. She's cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
That was a medicated laugh right there. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by our wonderful show coming up at the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
You heard right. The Mike O'Mara Show is headed to New Orleans Saturday, November 4th, 2017. The Mike O'Mara Show live hits the legendary House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana for one show only. Let me tell you about the tickets to this show. I believe Mr. Santana would use the term creeping. They're creeping.
Yeah.
They're starting to wear out. Okay. We're selling a few every day, and I don't want you to get shut out. I know it's a long time.
By creeping, let's clarify here.
All right.
We are almost 75% sold out, so get on it because you're going to miss out.
Yeah, I don't want people to be, rolling out in June or July and saying, man, if I'd acted a little sooner. We've been promoting this for a good long time already. This is the longest tail, I'll call it that we've ever had for promoting an event. And we wanted to do that because we know that it's a destination event for all of you. And we really look forward to it. And we'd love you to get there from the West Coast and from the East Coast and from Texas and from Wichita and from all those wonderful markets that we were on. I really want to see all of you live in New Orleans Saturday, November 4th, 2017 at 8 p.m. The 75% factor is a stunning factor. We've sold almost all of these tickets, and we want you to get there. So don't miss this historic live event. Music, fun, laughs, and surprises. Stay tuned for more details to buy your tickets. Get them now. The Mike O'Mara Show live in New Orleans. And the icon is right there on MikeO'MaraShow.com. And what's that French thing that you say?
Oh, cher, laissez les bons temps rouler.
We will see you live in New Orleans. And really, I don't want to button it up completely yet, but I have to say to the TMOS fans out there, thank you for selling so many of these tickets soon.
Good stuff.
I am absolutely thrilled, and we will see you there.
News.
January 8th. Would have been Elvis Presley's 82nd birthday. And as usual, there was a birthday celebration at Graceland in Memphis. But the most surprising guest of all that day was Elvis himself.
What?
That's right. I'm leading with Elvis. There is a picture from the festivities.
Mike, you have to say the DJ thing. You have to say Elvis himself.
Elvis himself.
Oh, gross.
You said it. There's a picture from the festivities where you can see a burly guy with a white beard and mustache. He's wearing a baseball hat and sunglasses. I saw the picture.
How is it?
It looks like every fat guy with a white beard. It's ridiculous.
Elvis would be 82. Santa. Even if Elvis didn't die in 77, he'd be dead.
He'd be dead.
He'd be dead.
People think he's actually the king. There's a Facebook page called Evidence Elvis Presley is Alive, because of course there is. And when the picture was posted there, a lot of people decided that this guy is exactly what Elvis would look like if he were alive.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a dead ringer.
They also think there are security guards in the background keeping tabs on him.
Oh, no.
Obviously, the real Elvis would travel with protection, just in case somebody saw through his elaborate disguise.
I'm going to go over to the party to make sure nobody bothers me.
Of the hat and sunglasses. Glasses, Jack. As long as we're pointing out how silly all of this is, the man doesn't even look to be 82. So that's that. But it was just silly.
I've had plastic surgery, Jack.
There you go. Hey, man. Hey. For better or worse, the movie industry is totally obsessed with superheroes, and Ben Affleck is right in the middle of it, since he's Batman. But that doesn't mean he's enjoying it. In a recent interview with the Canadian version of Entertainment Tonight, he said, quote, I think that should tell you something right there. In a recent interview with the Canadian version of Entertainment.
Well, Mike, if you can't afford the very best, go to the second best, which is Canadian ET.
Here's Ben's bitter quote.
CT.
Ben getting a little salty because I think Ben might be seeing stuff on the wall. It's such a pain in the ass. It's like every time I mention Batman, it gets this huge clickbait. When I was doing Live by Night, or Live by Night. What? Live by Night.
It's his movie about Prohibition.
Oh, it looked horrible. It took me 2 years to get it together, but nobody ever asked me, where's Live by Night? Well, that's because I saw the trailer for it. I'm not surprised.
Right.
They asked me, Batman, Batman, Batman. I think now they might be asking him if he's Casey Affleck's brother.
Well, the account wasn't so bad.
Is that worth a look?
I bought it full price and on demand, and right. I said, "Well,
worth
I don't
regret
this."
Demand? I was thinking about getting it on demand.
A man with numbers knows how to shoot.
What they do is, again, we said it before: let him direct, let Casey act. Let him direct tomorrow.
We will have a review. I'll be seeing Fences this evening and the Denzel Washington movie.
Critically acclaimed.
I will have a review tomorrow. If there's one thing that no one in America was thinking on New Year's, it's that they should hire Mariah Carey to perform at their kid's wedding.
Hire that woman.
But apparently anything goes in Mother Russia.
Oh,
a Russian billionaire. God, we're hearing a lot about Russians, aren't we?
Yeah.
A lot of oil.
A
Russian billionaire reportedly paid Mariah over seven figures to perform at his granddaughter's wedding in London this past Saturday. From the videos posted online, it seems like she was performing live. She dedicated We Belong Together to the couple and also sang My All and It's Like That. It's probably a safe bet that Dick Clark Productions wasn't involved. She wasn't even the only celebrity there. Elton John also performed. And Antonio Banderas gave some sort of speech.
Oh, wow. So, I hope they got him cheaper than they got
Zorro.
Hey, you know, you've got a wedding coming up, Oscar. These are all good
September.
Ideas. These are
the cheapest wedding ever.
Hold it. I believe that's the first time he's mentioned a month.
In September.
What did he say?
He mentioned the month of his marriage, September.
September!
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, what day?
I'm going to have a slow drive back down to D.C.
I think we're slotted, budget-wise, just under $5,000.
Didn't ask the cost, ask the day.
No, I'm happy about that because it's just family.
Well, that's... we're not invited?
No one's invited except for the family. That's
it. Oh, it's the family.
It's a fiscally responsible wedding.
Okay. Are we allowed to send a gift?
You don't even have to do that. You're good to go.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. All right, that's cool.
Where are you registered?
No, not even registered. Not even down that path. I said, Shannon, this kitchen will never be built if you want a big wedding. Decide.
My wedding was teeny tiny family, too.
Yeah.
That's the way I did it. That's good. Off the hook with that one. No gift necessary.
You're welcome.
There was some buzz online last week when Cadbury announced they were making...
Cadbury.
Dave, I make a big confection for you.
With butter.
Oh, I'm in diabetic shock.
Yes.
He's Cadbury.
They were making cream eggs with Oreo filling for Easter. But they only announced them for the UK, so we didn't get ourselves too excited about it. It turns out we should have, because they've just revealed they're going to go on sale in America.
Yay! Woo! How does Alton Brown cook his Cadbury eggs?
Yeah, with a ramekin. Douche. They look ridiculously delicious and insanely unhealthy, and they'll be on sale starting next month for 99 cents each. So go and get them. I'm not a Cadbury cream egg fan.
No, there's too much goo. The goo to chocolate ratio is wrong.
You got to mix them with butter to make them right.
That's right.
A new survey asked more than 1,400 parents if they still send their kids to school with these five symptoms, and this is why we get sick all year. 88% of parents say they'd still send their kid to school with a runny nose and a dry cough as long as they didn't have a fever. I'm giving you the bell because I've probably done that. 84% would still send them to school with red watery eyes but no fever. Red watery eyes I haven't experienced with my
pink
kids,
eye.
So I don't know.
Well, no, we let Adrian come to work with red watery eyes.
51% said they'd still send them to school even if they did have a slight fever as long as they were acting normal.
No, never with a fever. Never with a fever.
42% said they still send them to school if they'd thrown up and didn't have any other symptoms, but if they'd thrown up only once.
It depends on the kind of throw. Mama Santana version of go to school.
Throw up and go to school.
Don't give an F. You're getting on that bus.
20%. would still send them to school if they had diarrhea. There's a bad parent right there. Only 20%.
Well, it depends. Elementary school, there's a bathroom right in the classroom. If you got to do the hall pass thing, then you're it's a race with the devil.
I don't think I was ever really sick when I was said I was sick at school.
You know, yeah, there was like, a lot of fake.
Like, there was a lot of faking going on. I remember as a kid, and my mom was not putting up with that BS.
Mom, I have stomach cramps.
Yeah.
Get in the bus. Oh, my God. My little guy's preschool classroom, though, with the little mini toilet, is the cutest thing I've ever seen. A real, like, porta potty. Not a porta, a real legitimate
toilet. Like a porcelain
miniature
toilet. Yeah.
In miniature size. I think it's the cutest thing in the world. And now a little something, Kohler. Something. Here we go. Can't help it. It's there. Got to take them when I see them.
Sure.
Not going to be. You know what I'm doing for the rest of 2017? I will no longer be making excuses when I have a Florida story, because the fact is that it's now going into the 95 to 96% range.
You got
to
embrace
that's
it,
what
Mike.
I get
the
love
armpit of America.
Mm. Absolutely. A Florida man was arrested for allegedly trying to break into Indian River County Jail by driving his car into the front door and then trying to climb a fence, according to the police. Patrick Rempe, 24, was arrested after he got caught in the fence's razor wire, according to reports. Rempe admitted to deputies that he was high on a drug, I don't know if you know this one, called Flacca. Does anybody know this drug?
Flacca?
Flacca? He wanted to visit his friends who were locked up in the jail. Flacca is a synthetic drug that is similar to bath salts and is an aggressive stimulant, you think?
So it's not the quarterback for the Ravens?
No, it's not. No,
Flacco. Okay.
Indian River County Sheriff Daryl Lohr said, "This is what drugs do to you. Flacca is poisoning our youth. Fortunately, none of our deputies were injured, and our facility was not compromised." Sheriff's Department officials estimate the damage to be at least $5,000. And, of course, leads me to another slogan, Florida. If you don't think you're stupid enough, we've got a pill for that. There you go.
Yeah. That's and right. Flacca as a drug looks like lead paint chips.
Okay. Oh, exciting. Yes,
sweet tasting.
Florida. We'll take a break. Come back with Rob and his little sounds right after this commercial break, everybody.
Wednesdays are wide open.
Do you believe in Bible on the Wednesday?
It's your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, and Oscar.
Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. sharp.
The number to call in is 1-888-920-MORE.
That's 888-920-6673.
It's so much fun, you may lose your mind.
It'll lose your mind.
Remember that magic number to have fun on your hump day.
1-888-920-MORE.
Wide open Wednesdays, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, tomorrow is Wide Open Wednesday. Our phone number is 888-920-6673. Right about 9 a.m. Eastern Time, we will start taking your calls. If we do not get 15 calls tomorrow on Wide Open Wednesday, Rob Spiewak will take his shirt off.
I will. I will.
Yes, do not call.
Then we will get 15 calls right away of complaint.
There you go. Our Mike O'Mara Show, welcome back. Brought to you by our bonus packages. We need to laugh. Laugh hard. The 2017 TMOS bonus package. Now more than ever. No more than ever. Get the bonus package, okay? We need you to sign up. Please do. We love you to support the bonus shows. We have a lot of fun doing them for you, and you get access to all the 2017 bonus content, plus the entire bonus show anthology at over a 25% savings, all waiting for you at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages. When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. Buy it, give it, renew it, get it. The Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour. Yes, Oscar.
Can I stress this as well? Pony and I had a behind the scenes meeting yesterday.
Tete-a-tete?
Yes, we were really looking at the overall listenership of the bonus show. And I'm not even getting to percentages. I'll say this. Even if you don't listen to the bonus hour, buy the bonus hour.
There you go.
That's a way you can support the show.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, but if you listen to it, you'll be entertained. We guarantee you that. So thank you for your support. And for all the people that have purchased their bonus content, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Please spread the word and make sure more than ever people get the bonus content. It's the only way that keeps this show on
Absolutely.
The air. Absolutely. I'll be honest with you. I hate to come into here one day.
Just keeping it real,
say,
Mike. Keeping it real.
I'd hate to give you any bad news, but, we're month to month.
We already lost
That's
a hit.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. Let's open up the audio vault for today, January 17, 2017. Rob Spiewak, take it away.
Reese Witherspoon, Cutie Pie, and I believe a Oscar winner for the Johnny Cash movie, at least a nominee.
Yeah, let me double check.
Please do. But she revealed something in press for her new movie that really surprised me. She was slated to play the princess in the Disney movie Brave, but she couldn't master the Scottish accent.
The Scottish accent.
And was let go.
What are the hard ones to do, talking about accents?
Scottish is really... I was supposed to... I don't even want to talk about it. I tried to do a Scottish accent once.
Really?
It was bad. I had to quit the movie.
You did? Over the accent?
It's not my finest moment.
Really?
No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. That was just, it came out, and I really wish it hadn't.
I think that's a pretty genuine, I wish I had that moment back with her.
My daughter Catherine...
She won the Oscar, yes.
...auditioning last night in D.C. for a theater company in Washington. I'm not going to mention any names, but I will tell you,
Fingers
a professional crushed. Theatrical production. You know, my daughter just keeps on chugging, and I'm very, very proud of her. So, Catherine, break a leg, and I hope you did well. And if anything happens on that front, I'll let you know.
Keep
and she,
kicking
you know,
ass and taking names.
Rehearsals for Steel Magnolias tonight. And, you know, the kid is just rocking and rolling. I'm very proud of her. Catherine, my daughter, actress extraordinaire. Very, very excited about her. Very
meanwhile, proud. Julia is getting her roots touched up today, so her hair is entirely blue. So we're both proud.
This poor man, Rob Spiewak.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it, though?
Did you tell Carrie? Remember
this.
You didn't like it in the first place.
The Bachelor is one of Oscar's favorite programs
Corinne.
Because it's a great show. And last night, Corinne, who does not have blue hair, wanted to do something special for The Bachelor.
She did.
What's his name? The guy?
Oh, my God. Let me pull it up.
They did actually, Mike.
Nick, Aaron Rodgers.
It's Nick.
Nick. They did a very funny sketch on Saturday Night Live this week. It's a parody of The Bachelor just called The Beard. And it's a guy with a sculpted beard dealing with a whole bunch of bimbos. It's very funny. Anyway, so on The Bachelor last night, as a treat, Corinne put whipped cream on her boobs and asked him to lick it off. Now, one would think he'd be into this, but it did not go well.
What's whipped cream have to do with it?
Because a lot.
What are you doing?
Take it off my lip.
Oh, my God. You're a troublemaker.
I am.
I like it a little bit, you know? I like it a lot. But at the same time, I'm really juggling, trying to appreciate everything that is Corinne while being respectful to the other women in the house.
Tonight definitely did not go as I wanted it to.
Oh, Corinne.
I tried to do something nice and very cute for Nick, and it just backfired. I feel so stupid now, Nick, and I just honestly do not even have a chance.
Mike, she was so upset she didn't go to the rose ceremony.
Oh, my God. Do they all sound like that, by the way? Do they
all
baby
talk? Yeah,
and
I believe you have a preset in your vocal thing that could be called Bachelorette.
Bachelorette.
You were doing a voice like that before the show. While we're on the topic of reality shows,
she's ratings gold, though. She is ratings gold.
She still has a nanny.
She's 23.
Four.
And she's 24. Sorry. Does it really matter at that point?
No.
And she's ratings gold.
Yeah. Mike, this is a big moment for us reality wise because today I will play you the last tape of Celebrity Apprentice because John Lovitz was let go last night.
Of course he was.
There was a challenge to make candy.
Are you watching that show? Oh. Are you watching the show?
I'm done now.
I am. Okay. I'm watching. And I got to tell you, like, every time I want to hate the show and hate Arnold, it for some reason, it's so bad, I have to watch
He's sucked in. That's his version of The Wall.
Yes.
Are the ratings coming back at all, or is it still tanking?
I haven't seen the numbers. That was
you
yesterday.
Don't hear about it, which means it's probably
2 days.
Tanking.
Well, but again, for as far as seeing, like, some B-list celebrities and Arnold... Right. And watching the interaction with his son, the first episode I thought was worse than the second episode.
They're finding their way.
And now they had a Kawasaki challenge this last episode, right?
No, the challenge that I'm going to focus on was where they had to make candy.
Ah.
And they made candy for Warren Buffett. And Mike, what have you always told me? We've known each other for a quarter of a century. You say, Rob, Warren Buffett likes dark chocolate. Well, John Lovitz didn't know that. Here is a wonderful speech of Arnold terminating the great John Lovitz.
The fact of the matter is both of them were delicious, but Warren Buffett picked the crunchy one with the dark chocolate because he loves that. And if you would have done and your team would have done enough research on what he likes and what he eats, he would have stumbled on that very quickly, that he likes dark chocolate and not the milk chocolate, the lighter chocolate. So it's that simple. So there's a shortcoming right there. But the bottom line is, you leave me no choice. You're a great actor. You're a great comedian. You're a great friend of mine, and I love you. But, John, you're terminated.
Oh, man.
Now.
Do we get any Lovitz?
Get to the chopper.
Thank you.
Just thank you.
Thank you.
Do we get nothing from Lovitz?
Lovitz gave us very little. Ass. That's why.
That's why the show sucks ass.
You're right.
I mean, really. Why have any Lovitz on there where you can just go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Now, there is a service called Keeper, which is about computer security, and they released a story yesterday that in the year 2016, the most popular computer password remains 123456.
Wow.
And that 17% of all hacked computers had that as a password.
They deserve it.
Anyway, here is in a celebration of this wonderful fact, one of my favorite moments from Spaceballs.
The combination is...
Dick Van Patten.
One.
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 Two.
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 Three.
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 Four.
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 Five.
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 So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life.
So there you go. If you get hacked, you deserve it. And let us close with this. A new app might... I've heard you're quite the kisser.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
No. But right, this is a new app for people that like to kiss their people, kiss their lover when they're perhaps away from their lover. A long distance kissing application.
Speaking of apps, this is weird. Follow me on this. There's a new app that simulates a long distance kiss from a loved one using a rubber mouth. Now, it's expected to sell well among people who won't be using it for that.
Is your magic audio. Get to the chopper.
Have
a great Tuesday, everybody.
He did not like to talk chocolate. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Our snail mail address is TMOS, P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. If you want to send a birthday or message for our weekly mailbag segment, it's Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Thanks for all the years of amazing support for TMOS, and continue to spread the word about our show all over the world and buy the bonus package. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Bloom, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.